Hello, and welcome to Rural Concerns. I'm Sunil Patel.
Hello, I'm Chris...
Okay, he's lost it immediately. That was Chris Cantrell.
I'm Chris Cantrell, and in the year 2020, I thought it would be a brilliant idea to swap the city for the countryside, a decision which was, with the benefit of hindsight, very, very locked down.
I'm Sunil Patel. I live in the mega city of London and enjoy easy access to world-leading cultural events, little artisan coffees, and M&M's World.
And along with our producer, James.
Yo.
Who's also here. We attempt to process terrible decisions. I got COVID over Christmas. Terrible life decisions and maintain our long-distance friendship in spite of countryside-caliber internet speeds and, in Sunil's case, staggering apathy.
I wish I wasn't here.
Okay, let's dive into the episode.
All right, do you want to do that? Is that all right, that one?
Yeah, I can go it again.
I think this is making a strong case for not having written intros or outros at all.
You're not stressing anyone out. You're just stressing yourself out.
No, but it's I'm aware I put a lot of work into things, and I'm at the point in life where I'm just not going to apologize for that, for working very hard. I just won't settle. But I do, like, I try to constrain how much I'm messaging people because I know I'm stressing people. I know I'm stressing people out. Too much going on. Like, but what do we think about the music?
I just want the internet connections to be stable, first of all.
Yeah. I think just to sort of counterpoint the stressing people out thing, if you've got ideas about what you want to talk about, for me, as my role as a producer, it's very useful to know those things, and then I can keep you on track.
Okay. All right. I've got them in my head. I'll just fire them over.
Oh, don't give me access to that. I thought as well, it might be interesting to compare and contrast your Friday/Saturday nights, as this is a Sunday recording.
Yeah. I've had a very London weekend, actually.
You're wearing a little scarf.
I wear scarves indoors now.
Because it's winter or because of pretension?
I get cold neck.
Have you thought of a bigger beard?
Just growing it, just letting it merge between the chest and the neck, yeah. No, I just got it trimmed, actually. This is one of the things you can do in London. You can just pop out and get your hair cut or trimmed very easily by a lad from, the disputed territory of Kurdistan.
They're good lads, them, as well, because they don't talk to you at all, do they? Like, keep it pure silence.
No, but they try and sell you black Viagra.
Like I say, my barber keeps it close to his chest. Don't really. We have 2 minutes of mandatory sort of small talk, and then it's silence all the way through. That's good.
Yeah.
But last time he told me that at my age, maybe getting a fade isn't cool. I'm eyeing up potential replacements in the area, because that felt like a big overstep.
You've got to turn down a fade, Chris, you can't be getting fades. Come on, just get a short back and sides. Normal.
I know, but I'm just I've got old lady hair now, and I just wanted a bit of a fade keeps me looking a bit tasty.
Why don't you get on the hair loss pills like everyone is in London?
I don't want to. I can't be doing that. I've got like hair. It's just like it's getting to the point where I think my only options are this, or if I could bunch it all together, one dreadlock. But I don't know. I can't be doing pills. I don't know if I can be doing pills. I don't know if I can be doing. I can't be going to Turkey. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like,
I would love to.
I said to my wife, I said, it's my job to be really young and cool and beautiful. And she said, it's your job to be funny. I went, so which one do you think's more achievable?
I'd love to see you coming back on a flight from Turkey bandaged over the head. I'd take a photo of you from like six rows behind.
Well, you get a flight out there for the weekend just to track me back.
Because they send you back before you're like completely recovered, don't they? They're just like, get the fuck out now. And then the flights are just full of lads with bandages on their heads, half a kidney gone.
Yeah, but you read the stories, don't you? And it's cheaper. But if some, it's like, to me, going to Turkey for plastic surgery or whatever feels like booking from Airbnb. It is fine until it isn't, and then you are fucked. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, Airbnb is brilliant. Like, oh, showing up. But if something's wrong, you cannot get. Like, I stayed in a flat in London that was disgusting. And then we were like, this is not acceptable. Trying to get hold of someone up the chain. And Airbnb basically pitch you. It says, well, sort it out with the person that rented it to you. And you're like, no. like Airbnb removes itself from the conversation. It's like, well, if you two are going mad, you two sort it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they evacuate.
Also, a lot of Airbnbs, they put like hidden cameras everywhere.
To stop what?
Well, just have a look at what you're up to. Make sure you're not having like 20 people around for a party or just to see you wanking yourself.
Yeah, but that it must be illegal to privately surveil people.
Just a heads up, our producer is currently in an Airbnb and he's got no trousers or pants on.
Feeling pretty shifty.
Yeah, he's looking around now to see the cameras. You like that Ant and Dec thing, like, am I being pranked right now?
Yeah, am I on the other side of Michael McIntyre's stage?
Yeah. The door's gonna fall down and it's Michael McIntyre and a million people at the Apollo. Right, so
lots to report, actually, Chris.
Well, yeah, sorry, go on.
I said lots to report, Chris. You kick it off.
I've got a feeling I'm not totally happy about. James, should I like talk about just one at my birthday?
Why don't you both tell me what you've done this week in a sort of just like a headline, and I'll say which one I want to hear first.
Okay, I went to Nosferatu with a live musical accompaniment, and then I went to BAFTA for a screening and a Q&A.
Which he's in.
What of?
Of a show I'm in.
Wait a minute, you were in Nosferatu?
No, I'm in a show called Alice and Jack.
No, they couldn't fit him in the coffin.
Yeah. No, I'm in a show called Alice and Jack, which they did a screening and a Q&A for on Friday night.
So you were providing the A's rather than the Q's?
Yeah, and I choked on stage.
Oh, did you?
Wow, okay.
As in, that's physically.
Good. This is good. I'm very interested.
Physically choked on stage. Everyone was a bit concerned, and then everyone was a bit panicky. I was sitting next to Aislingby. Donald Gleeson stood up, tried to pour me a glass of water, and then realised I wasn't dying, and then just necked the water himself. Andrea Riseborough couldn't really do anything. She was terrified, and the interviewer was laughing so much she couldn't help.
Yeah, this sounds like my... Well, I mean...
Yeah, go on, Chris. What have you been up to?
Don't make a decision immediately. I've moved house, and I've moved lots of boxes.
Yeah, nice.
There's drama within that.
Is there one box just the DVDs?
One?
No, I've largely been forced to eschew physical media by my wife. But I'm bringing it back because I've got all these, you know, like I bought little cheapy films on Amazon and stuff. And then it's like, if they just turn that off...
That is the concern of the middle-aged man these days. What if Amazon turn us off?
Yeah, you don't own that anymore. I think it's like a generation, I want to own media. So that... James, so you there have two very different paths to take. Which do you think might be the most interesting to kick off with?
I think I've got everything I need from your move, Chris, so I want to hear more about...
There's
I
more
want to know
to
how
it.
He's going to fill all those bedrooms he can afford up there.
I've had a big birthday and I've done a big move. And I'm in the middle of the move now and it's tough. And I've got a nice house. It's a grand old house built in 1895. Stone, quite big, quite sizable, which we were only able to afford because on every conceivable level it is fucked. It is leaking from the top and the bottom. It has no floors, there's black mold. The entire middle floor is cordoned off to black mold.
You don't have to justify why you've got a massive house, Chris.
No, I'm just saying just
say you're a very successful man. just tell us.
It's good to look around the house that my wife's graft has built. But we ain't got anything now, right? We ain't got the floor, we ain't got, like I say, the middle floor. There's just so much to do, which is fine, and I'm not handy really, but I'm desperate to like get my head around it. But every time my dad always tries to show me DIY, and I love doing stuff like that with him because we have a laugh. But every time he shows me, he'll catch me on my phone and stuff, and he gets like pissed off with me. You know, so
it's just not your thing. If you're not drawn to it naturally, don't try and get involved. You just get angry.
No, but my father-in-law is a bit more like, pay, like, can you, like, what is it that you do? And I'm like, soft skills marketing. And he went, do you think it'd be easier to get somebody, pay somebody to go in and do that?
Yeah, of course it would. You'd earn more money in the time you spent, you know, actually, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you could spend 2 days doing a job that someone could do in an hour, and that's 2 days you could spend working on what you're actually good at.
Well, that's it. We always used to do decorating, and then we paid a decorator from the village, and it didn't take him a week to do a room. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah,
It was dazzling. It was a professional. So, but I probably can't afford him now, so I've got to do it. So there's that, and all my family, like my in-laws, helped me move in, which was amazing. But they've all got like, there's been a diagnosis in the family in the last year. My brother-in-law has got ADHD.
Which one have you got?
I don't know. I think I've been diagnosed with ADHD. Someone put their hand up to stop a show to tell me I had ADHD.
They do that to everyone.
Yeah, I think that's because, well, I mean, there's some warnings. There's like, I leave my car keys on. I leave my car running with my keys in a bit, and I keep forgetting to do things to the point where my wife doesn't get upset with me anymore. She's just like, what about this? And I'm like, I forgot. She's like, okay. Like that.
Well, it's you've like been, your thought patterns have been described to me by a third party as just a head full of bees. I don't know if that's in the DSM-5, but that's what you've got.
Yeah. And I don't know what the prescription is. I don't want, but my in-laws all have. They do as there's a good split between like how my family does things and how my wife's family does things. My family's a bit more like hand wringing, weighing stuff up, really deliberating of it, which is good but slow procrastination. And, you know, my in laws are like, let's just do it all now. And my father in law's just like, let's just do everything now. He took my TV remote, two of them, put them in two different boxes, which have now gone missing. So I've had to sort that. And he does stuff like him and there's some flooring that's, do you know what? I had to look away because I could just see my father-in-law and my brother-in-law like chainsawing up the floor and like, you know, like pulling it all up, all the old floorboards and stuff.
What,
and
immediately? We're already working on the house?
Yeah, the house is bare. There's no floors. But basically because the owner but one, it's been unoccupied for a year. But before that, it was owned by a lady that illegally bred dogs, so the place stinks of dog piss. That's another thing. As I don't be jealous of my grand house.
You're it's living in a dog
black
farm.
Black mold full of piss.
What kind of dogs though?
I don't know, like poodles or something like that.
But it's not poodles,
like,
man.
All I'm saying is you wouldn't be getting the papers. Do you know what I mean? Like the official kennel club papers.
Nobody wants an illegal poodle though, do they? They want an illegal staffy.
No. People want like a black Labrador and rather than pay thousands of pounds or whatever it is. Right. They would rather pay £800 or something like that. I don't know. Like people would rather do that. But there was one point where my father-in-law just went, he had a screwdriver and I was like looking at it and he just went, I could take this door off. And I went, yeah, you could.
but wouldn't be able to get it back on.
But why are we doing that? Just for something to be doing. I admire it.
It's very hard to put a door back on by yourself, hanging a door. It's a tough game. Just out of interest, because the two sides of the family are so different in their approach. If they were both let loose in a CEX with £5 each, which family would come out first with a DVD? Because if they're buzzing around trying to decide the best one, or the other side's wringing their hands about which one's the best one, like which one actually gets something done?
I think maybe my family would edge it because they'd stop and like look at the. I think my in-laws would be zipping around in an ADHD frenzy, and they wouldn't even be at the DVDs. They'd be looking at the PS4 games.
Oh, they get distracted. Rushing. Yeah,
get distracted, and they're like, "This is Mario Kart Deluxe," and you're like, "Yeah, yeah, it is. It's not a DVD now."
Yeah, but that's out of your budget.
Whereas my dad just methodically, like picking up every single copy of Saving Private Ryan. Well, so I won't lie. It's been a huge week. I'm suddenly thrust into there's so many jobs to do and a limited amount of money. So we're like budgeting and having to Like, look at, like, when electrician in, but we need a guy to look at the roof, but we need, you know, so it's like a bit, it's a bit, and I'm just spending, like, I blink and we spent £500. Like, we got a skip. I blinked £500 to get this skip on the road. Blinked again, £600 for a new fridge freezer built in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you just like, I just have to surrender to that. And
I mean, you obviously need these things. They're not an extravagance, are they?
You need a fridge that's freezer. It, but we're juggling an amount of, you know, like we're going to run out of money way before we get, and it's going to be a job. So it's like, which is a focus bit? So we're living in the attic, all three of us, in the eaves of the house.
What?
We're living in one. We're living in one room on a wooden floors at the top of the house,
where there were no dogs.
Where there were no dogs. That's going to be our office in 2 years, maybe. Yeah. But our son's up there with us, which is good. So
this is all very exciting, Chris. This sounds like a lovely way to live if you're a kid. Sounds fun.
Yeah, well, we really wanted to make where he would be sleeping beautiful and nice. And like I said to Nick, I said, get him them new furry bed clothes because that'll be the highlight of his day. And he went, and these new bed clothes for me. This is the best day ever. I went, yeah, this guy's, we don't need to worry about him. He's all right. And I bought him, I went to see X and I bought him Mario Kart. So he's like absolutely caning that while dad's moving tons of rubble.
It was your birthday this week, isn't it? It's a big week for both of us. We both have the same similar birthday.
I am so sorry.
We always forget each other's birthdays.
When we spoke last time, I heard April. I'm so sorry that I missed it. I mean, your birthday's my birthday. I mean, yeah, no presents have been exchanged. My birthday was a big birthday. Yours is betwixt two birthdays, but I'm going to go on eBay and get out. I'm going to sort you something out off eBay. What?
I already bought my birthday present for myself off eBay.
What was your birthday present?
It's a leather jacket that says Legends of Poker on it.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. And how much did that cost?
It cost, what are we talking, dollars or pounds?
Let's start.
GBP? Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't much. It was fine.
Do you want to give the specific figure so that we know?
£90.
£90.
Yeah, I saw it on eBay last April and I was like, why hasn't it sold? It's an absolute bargain. So I got it.
But I've seen a picture of it and it's like one of those things. Do you know when you go to charity shops? Yeah, when you go into charity shops and there's like mad, there's you'll often find promotional t-shirts in there. Do you know what I mean? For some sales conference in 2002, like a polo neck.
I'm just saying that stuff in London is now pretty cool. So you're out of the loop.
Yeah, I know it is, but it's just, you know, if you...
I'm currently the coolest man in London.
Oh, if you'd have chartered a van up to Scotland, you would have got that same thing for £1, I bet you.
It's suede. I'm telling everyone it belonged to a champion poker player, and you can only get it if you if you have a first round exit in the tournament, you get that jacket.
So you created deep lore.
You created deep lore and immediately had it undermined by my friends. But that was my birthday present to myself. What did you get?
Well, I mean, I think we'll have all noticed from the pilot episode that the quality of this audio has gone up.
It's weird that you got a microphone for your birthday when your wife has a professional grade audio setup for her work in a different room.
Yeah, but then I have to have access to, like, we're all between.
Not allowed access to it.
Because I keep saving the files wrong and stuff and deleting. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's on an Apple and I'm just like pressing buttons and she always has to come in. But I do my own bits and pieces. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going to get it on a little arm, like, eventually, like I've seen on the podcasters.
On Rogan.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rogan with it. I think that's the next step. One. So I got a Princess Diana memorial plate.
Nice. Get your hand off your heart, James.
And a cape.
Sorry, a cape.
My friend bought me a cape, you know, like a little hobbit style.
Is that what you're wearing now?
No, this is, I mean, I don't want to be gross, but this is
a Warhammer hoodie.
It's an Icklewick FM hoodie that was made for me by the show's producers. And the font of Icklewick FM is the same as Magic the Gathering.
It's got a red, the inside of the hood is red. It's actually high end. That's great.
No, it's nice. But on top of this, now I've got a full cape. I was going to wear it today, but didn't. So I'll save that for a future episode. But it's just one of the things I'm doing to feel more like me in 2020.
Yeah.
It's been a tough week.
That's nice.
But, so now, that's enough about my DIY mundanity.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, I had my birthday this week as well, as you know,
Happy
Chris, as you texted me the day after. I went, and for my birthday in the morning, I had a coffee. It was good. For lunch, I got taken to a local bakery for lunch by a friend. And then in the evening, I went to Pizza Express, had Pizza Express. And then I went to see a screening of Nosferatu, the vampire film, with a live musical accompaniment, pianist and a violinist.
Was it brilliant?
It was really good. I really wasn't expecting it to be that good. It was amazing. Yeah, there's like the way you live in London, there's all this stuff going on and you never do it. And when you do it, you're like, oh, this is great. I'll never do it again, though.
Do you think Nosferatu stands up?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I don't know.
Yeah.
it's all right. I've never seen it.
But I think it's a good film, but it's so old and now we've got much better effects and writing and stuff, and you can speak in film. So imagine that experience of a live orchestra accompaniment, but it's the Meg.
Yeah. That'd be sick, actually. Just turn everything else down, just music.
Yeah.
But it's in a cinema full of absolute film nerds, so they're all just like laughing as if they find it really funny at points, which aren't really that funny, just to show that they know the film and what it's trying to achieve.
Yeah, my mother-in-law really did a hard sell. Apparently not that far away from us in Scotland, there's like a weekend once a year when they go see With Neil and I at the house where they go to in With Neil and I.
It was supposed to be in Penrith, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they make a little weekend of it, you know, like a film festival, and it's all... And my mother-in-law, like we know somebody who's gone, and my mother-in-law was like, Chris, you would love that. And I'm like, I've seen it and I enjoy it, but just nowhere near the level that will be the people that are at that weekend.
No. But I think now that I realise that you live near there, I would like to go there when it's on, please.
Well, let's go. We can make it. We could do that and then a live edition of the Creamery after.
I don't know what the Creamery is. I'm sorry.
Well, fans of episode one. I had some notes on episode one. Which sort of sent me into a spiral. I sent it
we'll
to like
talk about
my
that
wife
later.
And a
it's
friend.
A bit late now.
Yeah, I know. It's a good episode. I'm very happy with it, but it's about my personal, you know, like I spoke to James because basically I was on another podcast. I was on producer James's podcast and I've been on it a few times and he did a thing which I think was sort of nice, but they have a Discord for their listeners who all talk about the episodes, and producer James thought it'd be a brilliant idea to screen grab that chat about my episode, and there's just a lot of very nice people saying really great episode, but I really do struggle to understand what he's saying. and then I was like saying to James, I went, God, do I have to think about my diction? And James said, I'll tell you what you need to think about. You need to think about finishing some of these fucking sentences that you start. Because I've been editing it all week and just sort of getting through a thought and then stopping and then going on.
Yeah. And then on Friday, I went to BAFTA to do a Q&A for a show I was in.
This show that you're in, this isn't a little cameo in somebody's BBC.
No, I actually had to answer questions about the character and stuff like that. And I don't like watching myself. So, and it turns out none of the other three actors wanted to watch it either. So all four of us left during the hour and a half screening. So I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of it yet. But then came back, did some questions on stage about it. I got one out of the way. I got a question done. You know, and then the second question came around to me, and I, you know, when you swallow water down the wrong hole, and then you choke. I did that, but I just froze solid, and they were waiting for me to answer the question, but my face was just frozen. And then the interviewer went, "Just, are you all right?" And I tried to say yes, but it just came out as a little squeak, and then everyone realized I was possibly choking on stage. The interviewer didn't know what to do. She started laughing. I just kept trying to talk, but nothing kept coming out because I was still choking and I started coughing a bit. Aisling B was next to me. She tried to help out by saying, I think he's choking. And then Donald Gleason got up, poured out a glass of water for me. And then I started talking because I'd stopped choking. So he necked the water himself instead, standing up.
Legend.
And then Andrea Riseborough was there, and I don't think she could really do much. She was absolutely terrified. And then I had to answer a question about the motivation behind my role.
So to an audience member, it looked like Donald Gleason just showed you how to drink a glass of water. Like, this is how it's done.
Yeah, he was like, this is how you do it.
This is what you need to learn at the A-list, mate.
This is how
you... But that is like, what an interesting way for you to drop how big this TV show is by an absolutely humiliating... I mean, so this show's got... what channel's it going out on?
It's going out on Channel 4, but I didn't realise how... I mean, I knew it was big, but I didn't realise that... You don't realise the scale of it until you see afterwards. Like, so it's a screening at BAFTA, and it's obviously open to BAFTA members and then some members of the general public. So it's just, it's basically like journalists and film professionals and stuff watching it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then asking questions afterwards. It's
What's it about? Yeah. What's it called? What's it about?
It's called Alice and Jack. And it's basically the story of, it's a love story over the course of about 15 years between Alice and Jack, who are played by Donald Gleason and Andrea Riseborough.
Did they have to age you down?
They de-aged me. I don't know if you remember when I was filming it, no one really noticed, but they de-aged me by about 15 years. No one said anything.
Like in The Irishman?
No, they basically just, they dyed my hair and painted my beard every day I was on set. And then slowly undyed it as we got closer to, you know, our actual ages. But it's been at least a year since it was filmed. So sort of not forgotten about it, but, you know, I've had other stuff to do. But I had no idea when it was coming out. And then it got announced last August that Channel 4 had bought it. And yeah. But yeah, so it's going to be out in America, I think, roughly the same time. But on PBS Masterpiece, I think, which is a channel that shows a lot of British dramas.
Well, but that's very exciting, and it's so this show's got Andrea Riseborough,
yeah,
Domhnall Gleeson, Aisling B. These are proper famous.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
People, what's that like? Because I've done a few stuff, but it's normally like, hang about, is this mate that we'd be equally, we're on set together, but really we'd equally expect to meet each other above a pub in the Midlands or something like that. Do you know, doing a weird comedy gig? But these are like proper famous people.
Yeah, I mean, they're very good at, like, it's weird working with them because they're just like, this isn't to disparage people I've worked with before, but they take it seriously on a level I've never seen before. Yeah, I mean, they were exec producers on it as well, so they had to worry about the whole production. I mean, most of my scenes are with Donal, so yeah, I was mostly with him. But yeah, he's great fun.
He seems
a
good
lad.
Yeah.
I
had, you've met mega famous people before, haven't you? Because I had a weird thing where I took my son to the cinema in Carlisle, like a rundown multiplex, and we were watching a film, and in the advert before it, there was an advert on, which you were in. And
for Swiss tourism.
It was for the country of Switzerland. And I must have sounded mental because it was on screen, you, Anne Hathaway, Roger Federer. And I turned to my son and probably louder than I should have done said, that's daddy's friend. So I think that they'd have been sat there thinking, oh God, that poor child just being lied to. That man doesn't know Roger Federer.
Yeah. I mean, I barely know him. We just shook hands and said hello. I had more like interaction with Anne Hathaway just because we had just a very quick, short chat while one scene was being done. But, with those guys, they don't come in for rehearsal. They don't come in. They come in for 3 hours of the 2-day shoot. And the rest of the time, they've got stand-ins that look a bit like them.
So they can film
the other angles without seeing people's faces until they get in.
That is mad.
And then when they're in, you're not allowed anywhere near them. Well, I got asked for my autograph outside BAFTA, and they knew who I was, which was weird.
Wow.
I got laughed at by one of the producers when I told him I had a flatmate.
Really? Like just the concept of you having a flatmate?
I just mentioned it and he went, oh, what? You've got a roommate? I was like, yeah.
All changed now in front of all those American. Like, it's mad that you've done this over a year ago, isn't it? And now it's like a big thing and stuff. A lot of people will see this thing, hopefully. And you've got a film coming out this year.
Yeah, that's NDA'd.
So keep that in, James. What, as in they're not doing it anymore? Or...
As in I wasn't supposed to announce I was in it, but it's still not out. No, and the director doesn't know when it's out either.
So, what should we talk about now?
Oh, I went to the zoo.
Oh, right.
There's a lot of photos of it on social media making me look like a sort of 8-year-old who's into animals. But again, one of those things I've never done. I've lived in London all these years, never went to the zoo. It's brilliant.
I was always happy because I used to cycle past Regent's Park to go to work. I was always happy with that 20-odd quid. This is 10 years ago to get into there. And I was like, I'm happy with 2.5 foot of a giraffe's head. That'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's 30 quid now.
30 quid. I mean, they do good work with it and stuff, don't they? But what did you get to see? Did you get to go in and look at any of them? And
well, the good thing was there was a new gorilla born on the 17th of January. We wanted to have a look at that, basically.
Yeah.
And we did see it. We saw the mother like cradling it. That was pretty cool. Just this tiny little gorilla. And that was the best bit of it, really. I mean, the other stuff was great, but like that was the highlight, I think.
Yeah, you gotta work your way around. I remember seeing I went to New York Zoo and saw a polar bear, and it was the scale of the thing.
Oh, right.
It was like 7 foot tall. It's like James.
I've seen that polar bear.
Yeah,
I went to Prague Zoo once, and there was a little kid looking at the polar bears, really excited, and there were these little sparrows flying in. And the polar bear was like on the rock and it dived into the water and came up and caught the sparrow from the air with its paw and smushed it against the sort of see-through protective glass right by this 7-year-old's head, who just instantly started crying.
Fuck, I'd pay 30 quid for that.
Yeah, that sounds like the best.
That is impressive as fuck, man.
If that was, you know, if that was a video that you managed to record and put out in the early days of YouTube,
I'd still be watching that now.
Yeah. You'd be retiring off that. You'd be retiring off that video, though.
I'd be the host if you've been framed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunil's BAFTA week. Chris's big birthday.
Chris's big move.
What are the trends that are afoot and stuff like that? Do you know, is everyone wearing a little earring?
Well, the trends currently afoot in London are secondhand leather jackets off eBay for promotional events. But you guys wouldn't know.
Stop trying to manufacture that into a good purchase.
I'm not manufacturing it. I'm just saying you are so out of touch. You mock the things that are very popular in the greatest city on earth. You're like one of those like farm hands in out in the middle of nowhere going, look at these idiots out there wearing perfume. It's disgusting.
Because I'm in the process of the move, I've become what I hate. I'm just a sort of middle-aged guy wearing jogging bottoms and a hoodie.
I'm telling you now, Chris, if I ever wear jogging bottoms, you can shoot me in the back of the head. And that's at home or outside. I wouldn't be seen dead in them.
But I'm
disgusting.
Moving. I'm going to finish this podcast and go and move rubble in my back garden. I'm not wearing corduroy.
Wear some nice slacks. Be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable while you do stuff so you can stand up a bit straighter. That's what I'm saying. I wore some smart trousers and shoes the other night and it really does make a difference to your attitude.
Didn't you nearly die?
Yeah, I did nearly die, but that's different. The top half nearly died. Bottom half looked great.
Yeah, that when you were choking and the humiliation was palpable, it really probably helped people to be able to look at the socks and be like, oh God, I'm just going to focus on this because the rest of it's too cringy to watch.
He's soiled some very nice trousers.
But I, what did I do? What was I going to say?
Anyway, so I think we've covered Sunil's NDE at BAFTA and Chris's Dog Piss Paradise.
Chris's Dog Piss Paradise, yeah. I'm coming to London this week for the day on Tuesday. So then I will leave my jogging bottoms. I will shed the jogging bottoms, get on the train in my sort of black, black Levi's, if I can say specific brands.
I would say your black Levi's probably have 2% elastane, which is a cop out to me.
What do you mean?
It needs to be 100% denim, so it's uncomfortable.
I think these are really tight.
A man's trousers should be uncomfortable, Chris.
Otherwise, he'll... What happens?
Otherwise, he'll get a bad posture.
I think the ship has sailed on that one. I thought I always had good posture, but now... Yeah. Now things are catching up with me. And do you know what I mean? It's been tough.
Well,
I've suddenly got a lot older in a week. I've aged about 15 years in a week, one single week. It's been a humbling, tough experience.
There's a distressing amount of people getting the train now for long journeys, deciding to put on jogging bottoms. I do think that's wrong. So I'm glad at least you're putting on some jeans.
I do that, but it's because I'm a professional traveler now. Do you know? I feel like I've hacked. Might some businessman going to China to sell a load of
Yeah, but they don't wear jogging bottoms, do they? Frequent flyers don't wear jogging bottoms. Mm. People going on holiday wear jogging bottoms. Are you going on holiday when you come to London?
Half, half.
Chris?
I'm meeting my friends. I'm having, doing some business. I'm like, oh, I've got half hour to spare. What's this? Patisserie Valerie. I'm having a natter tart. It's a close, like, it's hard to get a natter tart up here. That's what I'm saying. So,
when are you going to start wearing blazers?
Why am I wearing blazers for?
Because you just hit 40.
James, edit that out. Bleep that out.
Okay. When are you going to start wearing blazers?
Sunil, just cleanly, can we get you saying 32? Can we just get that, James? Can you edit that together?
I'll start from the top. When are you going to start wearing blazers?
Why would I wear blazers?
Because you just hit 32. That's when a man starts wearing blazers. I'll tell you what, you come down to London, we'll get you a blazer.
I think we should do a makeover, shouldn't we?
Well, there's lots of shops down here for the older man that doesn't want to dress too old nor too young, so he dresses like a Victorian workman.
I know where my next style adventure is going to be. Once I get the other side of this move, Peaky Blinders.
What's three-piece suits?
Three-piece, like tweedy, big collars, flat cap. I think
razor
blade inside the hat. I think that's cool, isn't it?
That's cool. I think that'd be a good move. I think hoodie. I bought my first hoodie that I wear around the house this week. Mm-hmm. It is comfortable, but I do feel guilty wearing it, so I'm going to wear it sparingly, I think. In case it brings my mood down.
Tell you what, comfort. We've started, this is bad, but we've now got a sofa duvet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
I refuse to put the blanket on myself on the sofa.
I know, but we did it. My friend had a sofa duvet and it was deepest winter. I said, let's try this sofa duvet. Now we've got a hidden sofa duvet and it sits on the sofa folded up. But if a guest comes round, it gets ferreted away out of sight because we're not ready to admit that we're sofa duvet people. But there is like, oh, get under duvet.
Our blankets on the sofas are either used by my flatmate or by the various middle-aged comedians that end up sleeping there because they don't want to get a hotel for their gigs.
So do you think we've done enough on cultural highlights?
Oh, my God. I've just been sent a great link.
About what?
Chris Cantrell's net worth.
What is it?
$306,000,000,000.
Yeah, well.
How much is your house worth?
It might be, I mean, bleep it out, but 220.
Well, the house is worth 220?
Well, that's what we bought it for.
That's mental.
Yeah. But, like, there's downsides. It's full of poison. It's in the middle of nowhere.
How many beds?
Four.
Shut your fucking mouth, man.
It's got three in the middle floor, but the top floor will be our office, but is technically would be a fourth bedroom. So that's it. There's only three of us. It will do us forevermore. And we could have a guest room and stuff like that. So
what if you get rich? Will you get a big castle?
No, I'll be happy to pay that off and be happy with, do you know what I mean? I think my wife will have an opinion if we hit it big on one of these. I've just won. As I look now, I was looking for the Village magazine email and I've won £30 on the lotto.
Whoa.
Yeah. So things are looking up.
I had to do a voiceover audition for the lotto.
And?
I had to say Chip Butty, and that's when I realised they wanted someone northern.
Oh, and they just threw you. Well, it's good to get through the door for these parts, because if they're not being given to southern men in little scarves, then what's going on?
It's a scarf, so I don't have to pay for the heating.
You what?
I'm wearing a scarf, so I don't have to pay for heating.
Yeah.
I'm more like you than you think.
right. Cultural concerns. Cultural events.
None of these are previously discussed.
Sorry, James?
It's rural concerns and cultural highlights. Those are the segments we agreed on.
So, Sunil, do you think you could just riff about, like, right, as if you're like a weather person doing a report or something like that?
On cultural highlights in London?
Cultural highlights in London.
London is currently abuzz with news of my new leather jacket. Lots of people have mentioned it, saying it's one of the cultural highlights of this city in 2024. It's actually quite quiet at the moment. There's not much going on in town. I think the big cultural events are currently going to Waxy O'Connor's Irish Pub in Soho and then getting the bus home.
Am I right in hearing that for your birthday you went to Pizza Express?
One of the other cultural highlights of being in London is that there's lots and lots of Pizza Expresses. And if you get the app, then you get like free dough balls, free drink, free dessert sometimes if you get up to gold level. And on your birthday, you get free pizza.
So you really, and what did you have? I'd sort of say you was a Casa Romana type guy.
Bosco de Funghi.
Do you have the one with a hole in the middle?
A hole in the middle with salad? Yeah. No, absolutely not. What an absolute waste of time.
Think you could shove that up your ass, Pizza Express.
Good effort, but not for me.
Did you go to the Pizza Express in London that has the ancient, brilliant jazz bar beneath it?
I have been there, but I went, I ate in a different room because the jazz was too loud.
Right, yeah. So, jazz, always finding a way to ruin things.
Pizza Express is just, it's just like, there's so much choice. You're just like, thank God there's a Pizza Express about. And you just go there.
Yeah, I've had very good times in Pizza Express. You know, I thought it was one of these ones that went bust.
But it's still sort of limping along while also giving you loads of free food every time you go in.
Yeah, still going strong. So yeah, fair play. It's just when I'm in London, it's like I can't go to some big chain. I have to go to somewhere authentic and tasty, you know, somewhere where you can't really get it in the rest of the country, like Five Guys or something. You know, when will I learn RE Peri Peri chips?
What, you don't like them?
No, they're too dusty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, it's
too
like,
dusty.
Do you want this peri peri dusty? You want this peri peri seasoning? And you're like, yeah, go on then. And then like cough it up like a Victorian chimney sweep.
Yeah, I know.
Pure paprika and salt.
I did go to Nando's after my zoo visit, actually.
Oh, nice.
Because it's convenient. It will sit all your mates. You don't need to book anything. But don't get the peri peri chips. I had broccoli. Imagine that.
Yeah. It's... I can't get my head around it in this. We've got to make better decisions, haven't we, at our age?
Fibre is very necessary as you get older, Chris.
Yeah, I think my wife's on a mission to get me to consume more vegetables.
Well, we've got an air fryer. Really helpful.
You've got an air fryer too. It's all right, isn't it? Someone said it's just a tiny little oven.
Real fast oven, yeah.
So that was good. What sort of music's in the charts down there?
What sort of music is in the London charts?
Yeah, in the London, what sort of, if you're a young person hitting the clubs.
Yeah. Oh,
like what
if you're in the
beats?
Clubs, you'll currently be hearing a lot of Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Their new hot new band, kind of Elbow, I saw the other day. They're up and coming, I think. They're back with a new album.
I tell you, I've got a random, this is really mad, but my wife is good friends with a lady who is married to, I think, the bassist from Elbow, and they're so nice. And they came round to, when we lived in Manchester, they came round to our house for tea. And I remember I'm talking to this guy about how hard touring is, you know, I was talking to him, I was going, yeah, it's tough touring. I don't like being away from my family. But at that, my tour at that point was doing four dates, you know, like four nights spread out
with your mate,
spread out with, your mate, with not my on mate, your own. Spread out over like 3 weeks or something like that. And then I said, "Oh, what do you, where are you touring?" And he's basically like away for over half a year. And he included like a big stint in Japan and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, yeah, kind of similar. And so I get it. No, oh, I'm an idiot.
Oh, did you not know he was an elbow before you talked to him about your tour schedule?
No, I sort of did, but I just didn't quite realise the scale of, I mean, I should have done. And I think I was just trying to pretend just to be normal. But
yeah, it's normal talking about your tour.
It's annoying because he's obviously much, like a creative person, his own boss, much busier than I am. And there was a kids festival in Manchester, like that my wife took my son to. And I was like, I need to get some stuff done that weekend. You know, I used the opportunity to work, but he was there. And he was like, where's Chris? And he's like, all right, mate. Like, because if like the bassist from Elbow can be at this kids festival, then I definitely can anyway. So it really dropped me in it there. I was thinking this over Christmas when I wasn't well. I think we should outlaw walls so that boundaries don't happen anymore and everyone can be mates. How does that sound?
That means we can come into your house.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really windy today.
Yeah. What are you going to have? A rag?
It sounds all right, doesn't it? It sounds, do you know what I mean? Why can't everyone just get on? There you go. That's my hot take, my hot political take.
But thank you for listening. It means a lot that you've given us your time. If you want to go the extra mile, give us a review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, obviously, or recommend us to a friend or something like that.
That's it. Rural Concerns was produced by producer James for A Lovely Time.